Support for 30 Days of West Virginia Music is provided by Kinship Goods, proud supporter of DIY music and the arts. Locally shipped worldwide at kinshipgoods.com.
I mean, the mission really is to take the talent that's in West Virginia and put a spotlight on it and get it out into the world. You know what I mean? I want all the Americana programmers, when something crosses their desk from Murph Records, to say, oh, okay. I want us to get to that level, you know. I want us to win Grammys right here. Why can't we win a Grammy in West Virginia?
No.
Tim O'Brien can do it, but,
yeah,
you know.
Tim O'Brien.
Why can't we do it on a regular basis? I mean, this is Appalachia.
I'm Joni Deutsch, and this is 30 Days of West Virginia Music, a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting and A Change of Tune. Throughout the month of June, we are celebrating some of the folks who are making the West Virginia music scene wild and wonderful. 30 days, 30 brand new West Virginia music interviews. And today, an Americana duo taking an out-of-state approach to their mid-Ohio Valley music. This is Steve Hussey and Jake Eddy.
I'm Steve Hussey.
I'm Jake Eddy.
We're from Washington, West Virginia, and we play Americana music.
Cool. And how did you guys individually start out making music?
Well, I played music since I was in the fifth grade. I actually played trumpet in the school band from fifth grade all the way through high school. So that's how I got my start. Starting this kind of stuff, I got kind of a late start. I bought a guitar halfway through my freshman year of college and taught myself how to play. I did it so I could write songs. I've been writing now ever since then, which is, I won't tell you how long it is because then I'd date myself, but it's been a while. I founded the Steve Hussey Band in 2003, and we were together for about 9 years. Played all up and down, all over West Virginia, all up and down the East Coast, and we released a couple of albums, but honestly, it wasn't really like an artistic thing. We were a bar band. We played honky-tonks, and we played a lot of dance music, and it was what it was.
It's okay. And this all took place around West Virginia, and around the Washington area?
Yeah, it is. Parkersburg is right outside of Parkersburg, just south of Parkersburg.
Okay.
From there, did a couple of other small projects, and took a bit of a break, really, to learn how to be a producer. So, build out my own studio and all that stuff. And I met Jake in what? It was 2014.
Yeah.
I had written a couple of songs that I wanted to record for my wedding because I wanted to do like a little party favor for everybody that was there. Thought it would be a cool thing to do. And I didn't know anybody in the world that played the instruments that Jake played. So.
And what instruments were they?
I play banjo, guitar, mandolin, dobro, percussion, bass. Did I say guitar?
You can say it again.
Guitar, ukulele. That's pretty much it.
Don't forget the guitar lately.
Yeah, and 100 various other things that Steve has laying around.
Yeah.
The misfit toys of the instrument world.
And you play all that?
Yes.
And so
I play all that on the album as well.
Yeah. So I knew of Jake. I went to high school with his parents. So I saw that he was playing. I was really, you know, duly impressed because he's awesome. But I wanted to get this thing done, and he was soliciting for studio work. So, you know, not knowing anybody that played those instruments and seeing how good he was, I took him up on his offer. So we recorded two songs for the wedding.
Three.
That's right. We did three. And that went so well, we started talking about doing another few songs, and eventually it became the album, The Miller Girl, which took us about 2.5 years to finally get through.
Yeah. Well, how did the wedding go? I mean, you didn't...
We called it off.
We're still married.
No. He called it off last minute.
But the music went over well with it?
Yeah, it really did.
Good.
And those songs are both on the album. The one specifically I wrote for the wedding. The other one was something I'd written before that was, yeah, thematically appropriate. But that's how I met Jake.
You want me to give my history now?
Yeah. Give your history.
Okay, I started playing music when I was, I think, 8. And I started playing upright bass first in a bluegrass band, like in my family. My grandpa played, and my mom and like my brother ended up playing and stuff. But and I went on from that to play like maybe guitar first or maybe banjo after that. But then I just learned to play the other things, you know, over time. But In 2014, I toured for a whole summer with Melvin Goins and Windy Mountain before he passed shortly after I had quit in the next year. And then about the same time that was over, I linked up with Steve, and this has been pretty much my main gig ever since. You know, other than like doing studio work and then the things that I do, like the production stuff that I do outside of this.
Which is a whole other story.
It's a whole other story because yeah, I've
pretty amazing.
I've gained my, like, I don't want to say clout, but like my like name or whatever in like this circle of like roots music and like bluegrass and stuff, but also in the hip hop industry as a producer.
Really?
Yeah.
He makes beats. Yeah.
I do. I'm
like really good ones.
Seriously?
Yes.
Yeah. No kidding.
That. Wow. Wait, okay, I can't let that.
Say that. Oh, really?
I can't let that go. That's great. No, no. Let's talk about that for a little bit before we get back to you know, you guys as a duo. What?
Yeah, I mean, I was fascinated, like, I don't know. I've always liked rap and stuff, but not, like, I've never done it. I don't rap or, like, or write it or anything like that, but.
You still appreciate it.
Oh, I totally appreciate it. It's, like, really most of what I listen to. I don't know if I can say that. Should I say that?
Yep, sure. Why not?
But,
That's fine.
I've always been fascinated with, like, sampling and, like, how, like, repurposing of like old music.
Oh no! Hey, hey, man! I love mashups and sampling. So
yeah,
I'm totally with you.
Sampling is super cool, and like that's kind of what I started. I started out just messing with samples and like figuring out how to, you know, kind of manipulate old music to make new music, and went from there, and just started, you know, making beats and stuff, just kind of more as a hobby, not like as a serious gig. And people are like, "Oh, you're good at this," and I was like, "Good, I'll do this." So I've just been, I just do it, and that's honestly probably my main. Gigs, like far as financially goes, like supporting myself, it's that.
Wow. By day you're Americana.
I'm 17.
By night you're hip hop hero. Wow.
Tricks up my sleeve.
He's got a bunch.
That's great. I mean, Steve, do you have a side hustle that's like that?
No, I just have a day job.
He's the
okay,
rapper.
Okay.
He's the rapper.
No, I don't have a side job like that. I don't have a cool story to go with.
You love box.
Well, that's true.
What is that?
Steve created or was a part of this.
It was
group.
It's a 90s influenced rock band.
No.
That's like
it's still
no way.
It still exists.
Yeah, it's still around. It's like my anonymous side project.
And my brother, my younger
not
brother
so anonymous
plays
anymore.
Bass.
No, it's not.
My younger brother plays bass in our live band.
He always gives me all kinds of grief about
it. He found Lovebox like on his own time somehow on the internet.
Yeah.
And ever since then, like Steve be like, "Hey Carter, are you ready for the gig whatever?" And he'll be like, "You made Lovebox." Like he's obsessed. He thinks it's the funniest, like the crazy thing.
Yeah, he pulled up the Spotify stats one time. He's like, one play last quarter.
So you got like a quarter of a quarter of a quarter of a maybe millicent
yeah,
or
maybe.
Something.
I didn't even talk about that. This interview is going to go sour so fast.
Lovebox.
No, that's really cool backstories because you know you listen to your music, which by the way, is, the new release is great, and you're
thank
listening
you,
to it,
you.
And you probably would not have guessed that there is some you know a '90s man rocker, and then also a hip hop. Producer.
It's funny because people never really put that together either. Like people,
no,
be like,
they don't.
Because like people be like, okay, can you send me your like your credits or you send me like something else you've done? I'll be like, well, just look up like, or they like hire me to be like an instrumentalist on a hip hop project or whatever, like or play a bass or whatever. And they'll be like, you know, where can I see your work? And I'll be like, I've played 8 instruments on the Milby Grill. And they're like, that's country. I'm like, wait, there's more. You know, like just trust me. So it's funny.
Have you seen the Miller girl from the next hill over? At church she shines like the midday summer sun.
Well, I guess we talked about a little bit of how you guys got together. Beyond the wedding, what was your first gig together as a duo?
Oh, man.
God, first time we played
crazy.
In public was the CD release show, wasn't it?
No.
It wasn't?
No, it wasn't that. It was... That'd be crazy if it was.
I'm pretty sure
that
it
could
was.
Be.
And when was the CD release show? Was that November?
Yeah,
last
it was in
year?
November of last year.
We just assembled like the live band not that long before that. So
I think that was it.
Yeah, it would have been the release show. That's crazy.
That's wild.
That's true. That's crazy.
That is true. It was at the CD release show, and we put together a band of his buddies. So it's like...
They stayed, too.
Yeah.
That's still the band.
It's his little brother, Carter, who's also an amazing...
He's an awesome bass player.
He's 12. And then
he's 13 now.
And then his buddy Alex Capodona from Jake knows him from high school does percussion for us.
He's great.
It's really good stuff. Yeah. It's
I never
fun.
Plug him on the radio, so we should.
But we've played what, 30-odd shows since then or something like that?
Yeah, probably. We've been busy.
Did it feel like the first time when you guys did the CD release party? I mean, up to that point, I guess you'd been doing recording time so much that it wasn't too weird for you guys to be up on the same stage.
Yeah, it was totally different. Like, I don't know, the vibe of me and Steve in the studio and us, like, at a live show or, like, right now is totally different, though, I think.
I think you're right.
When we're in the studio, it's like, I'll record a track and I'll be like, Steve, tell me how great this is. He's like, that's really bad. Do it again. Like, this is like, it's so much more business, I feel like, in the studio than, like, because that's when you're, like, trying to craft the thing for the people, you right. know? But after it's out, you can reap the benefits and, like, sit back and enjoy it. But it's like, oh, I think it's a more work-oriented feel in the studio.
So you're saying I'm a slave driver?
You know, slave driver, but you're not, you know, teddy bear.
I'm not.
I enjoy it, though.
Well, you starting off by saying, okay, tell me how great I am. Tell me how great I am.
I
mean, that's asking for a little bit of, like, some flack.
That's funny.
The new release, The Miller Girl, is out now on Murph Records. Is that your label, Steve?
That's my label.
Okay.
I founded Murph Records last year to release this album. It's been fun. I mean, and I'm actually being proactive in signing folks. We have two artists that have signed to the label, Jeff Ray and Tracy Allen. It's really exciting. I mean, the reason I started Murph was basically there's so much talent in the state. It's almost absurd how much talent there is in the state. And the history of music from the state. I mean, there's Texas and there's some other elements in Americana, but like the whole genre pretty much has some roots in Appalachia,
yeah.
you know? And it's right here. It's still here. But there's no business infrastructure.
Nope.
There's no music infrastructure. There's no...
We barely have broadband.
There's
yeah.
nobody that's yeah. that's scouting the talent and recording this music to get it out into the world. You know what I mean? So my project was the dry run. You know, it was, okay, let's do this correctly. Let's hire a publicist. Let's hire a radio promoter. Let's get it out to all of the Americana reporting stations in the USA, the UK, Ireland, and Europe, and let's see what happens. And
which you did, too, which I always give Steve props for that, is that, like, he was like, said he was going to do it, and we were all like, oh, okay, he's going to do it. Like, everybody's going to do it. You know what I mean? But he did it, man. He always follows through, and he's like, he's go-getter. It's joy to work with you, buddy.
Appreciate you too, man.
Yeah.
But that was the first time that you've done something like this, like
yes.
making from the ground up a record label.
Yeah. I mean, we've done self-releases in the past, but it was always to our crowd of and our close friends and family, and it wasn't serious. You know what I mean? Not in the way that it needs to be. So
yeah.
I've been going back and forth in Nashville for about 9 years now.
Oh.
And
Nashville's just a totally different beast.
It's brutal.
Yeah.
Love all the people down there. Don't get me wrong. If anyone's listening, you know, I love you. But, you know, it's just, you know, Murph is an experiment, and why can't we do that here?
I can name a few West Virginia-based labels. In some cases, they, you know, they actually don't exist anymore. They started up. They had a pretty good run at the beginning and had some good acts associated with them. But because of the infrastructure in West Virginia being what it is, they didn't really continue. They just had – they couldn't.
Well, you know – if you're going to play music seriously, the best way I've ever heard it put is West Virginia is a fantastic place to be from.
That's a good and bad thing, because it's not saying it's a good place to be currently.
Right.
It's saying it's a good place to have your roots in.
It's odd. You anywhere in the country, I mean, and you know, you're from West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, tell me about that. What's that like?
What's that all about?
And then if you're a musician from West Virginia in certain circles, it's like almost instant credibility. I mean, no kidding. I mean, Nashville is run by musicians from West Virginia.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Charlie McCoy is the session musician.
They call it the West Virginia Mafia.
Yeah.
Down there, because every band down there has somebody from West Virginia. I'm not kidding.
This is the crazy thing that I always think. It's kind of outrageous. I'm not saying that I don't like Nashville, because I love them so much, but, like, it's just kind of outrageous to think that the only place that, like, credible music business is done, like, at least some people think, is in Nashville, like, people listen to music everywhere. People play music everywhere. So why can you only do music business in one place?
Right.
It's just pointless. It doesn't make sense to me.
It doesn't. And with the internet and with Facebook and social media, Twitter, it's never been easier in a lot of ways to get your music in front of people that might be a fan. So, so far so good. I mean, I'm very optimistic that we're going to keep on, you know, building on this. And I think we have a really good model.
What's the model? What are you basing it off of?
That's a Krabby Patty's secret formula.
Well, I guess what's the inspo when you're first starting off the Murph
Records. Were you looking at other record labels, independent labels, or other states?
The inspiration is basically Americana artists that I know and love, like Jason Isbell and Sturgill Simpson and Ryan Adams, and there's a handful of others that have built their following from the ground up, sans radio support, basically. Being out on the road, touring in 100 and 150 seat venues, building up their fan base from scratch, doing it via social media, and just making really good music.
And word of mouth, yeah.
And word of mouth. And you have to have a team. I mean, it's just a fact. You can't do it yourself. There's not enough hours in the day to send out blast emails
nope.
with your press kits to 1,000 bloggers and Rolling Stone. And you have to have somebody whose job it is to follow up with all the radio stations that you just sent your hard copy out to. You have to take the initiative to put all of your CDs in boxes, label them, and send them out to people that might play it.
And that's not the glamorous life. You know, when you think of a rock star or Americana legend, you're not thinking, oh, they're spending those hours getting cramps in their hands because they have to move CDs around or ship them out.
As long as I live, I'll never forget this. Steve texted us in this mass group chat one day, and he was like, hey, he was like, we're having a party at the Murph place. He was like, we're gonna have pizza. He's like, let's hang out or whatever. We were all like, stupid. We're like, yeah, sure, we'll hang out. And like maybe 10 of us showed up, and it was just boxes and boxes. I was like, what in the world is this?
It's not the first time I've heard about a party like that.
So crazy. We thought it was going to be like a party, and we were straight up like we're just getting paper cuts for hours. Like, that's the music business in a nutshell.
Little shovel sent me on my way again. It's been 10 days since I've seen the sun.
Well, let's talk about the support from the local music scene from where you guys are from.
Kind of weird, actually.
You're laughing. I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing.
It's kind of weird, actually. Well,
is it lack of support?
I don't want to be a Debbie Downer.
Well, I mean, I've heard stories about the Mid-Ohio Valley in the West Virginia side that is, you know, especially in the Parkersburg area, the music scene could be up to the level of like the Huntington area,
granted,
or the Morgantown area.
It's getting
area.
So much better. At a rapid pace, Parkersburg and yeah. MOV music scene is getting a lot better, but it's not so much lack of talent, it's lack of, like, I don't want to say good attitudes, but like, kind of like lack of good attitudes. People want to say like that the music scene is going well, but don't want to put forth the effort. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like mm-hmm. people just want to kind of sit back and like let it like grow on its own. That's just not how it happens.
Yeah, Steve, you've had more experience there. I mean, more years playing around there. What was it like when you first started out?
Pretty good when it started out.
Yeah?
I mean, there were several decent venues. I mean, slowly those have been replaced by the gambling machine places. Which is kind of sad.
Yeah.
It's gone downhill a lot. I think there's only two venues in town now that really have music, and they don't even do it on a regular basis. So you go across the river to Marietta, Ohio, it's a totally different story. But they do have college. It's a small college, but it's still a college town.
Yeah.
I think the problem with Parkersburg specifically is not the musicians maybe, but like mm-hmm. the people, this lack of support from the general public.
Yeah, I mean, it's an older town, and if they haven't heard it before, they don't want to hear it. So it makes it difficult as someone that writes and plays original music.
Yeah.
Parkersburg is a cover band's best
thing. This is historically, I mean, in the last year, and you know, honestly, there's a lack of leadership. There's not a small group of people that are like-minded that want to change it, which I know Huntington has.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know who those guys are and gals. And, you know, I know what they're doing. And things are changing. We had the Undercurrent Music Festival up there this past weekend.
Shout out Michelle Waters.
Michelle Waters just knocked the ball out of the park. 14 local/regional acts mm-hmm. from
half
all
of
over
which
West Virginia.
That I've never heard of. It's crazy.
And they were all so good. It was very well attended. The whole thing was organized beautifully. In the last year, there is a small group of people that are working to change that in the Mid-Ohio Valley. And I credit Corey Shields with a lot of it. He put a Facebook post up, I don't know, about a year and a half ago about this very thing and got a really good back and forth. I'm good friends with Todd Burge. And he kind of chimed in and said, you know what? If no one's throwing a party, throw your own, basically. Yeah. And that's what I've seen happen in the last year.
I think Todd is a prime example, too, of making your own luck.
Like, oh, yeah.
Todd's been involved in the music scene, like,
ages.
Yeah, forever. and he's never not found a way to make it work, even when right. it was at its worst. And then now that it's getting better, he's still there. And he's like, he never stops. Todd hustles.
Yeah, I'm happy to say that I think it's changing rapidly up there. And I would like to see, we're going to be adding to it somehow. I haven't quite figured it out yet. But I think just with the label, I think we have a few people's attention with that. I mean, the mission really is to take the talent that's in West Virginia and put a spotlight on it and get it out into the world. You know what I mean? I want all the Americana programmers, when something crosses their desk from Murph Records, to say, oh, okay, I want us to get to that level. You know, I want us to win Grammys right here. Why can't we win a Grammy in West Virginia? No. Tim O'Brien can do it, but,
yeah,
you know.
Tim O'Brien.
Why can't we do it on a regular basis? I mean, this is Appalachia.
Don't try to let the cat out the bag too much about possibilities with that.
Why can't we do that? Why can't we win Americana Music Awards? Why can't we produce world-class records in Washington, West Virginia, population 1,500? I mean, why not?
Yeah.
If you're going to dream big, right?
Let's talk a little bit about the record, The Miller Girl.
Sure.
That's a great record. I love that record.
I love it, too.
That's a great record.
It's one of my favorites. Might be my favorite ever.
Can you talk about the process a little bit of getting the record together? I mean, did the label come first or did the record come first?
The record came way first.
Yeah. Okay. The label was something that I'd been talking about with a friend of mine, Jeff Ray, for a couple years. But the record was happening all that time. Basically, after the songs for the wedding, I was so happy with, wow, this is awesome. This is the sound that I've been looking for pretty much my whole life. I mean, this is what I wanted the Steve Hussey Band to be. This is what I wanted, things to sound like. So I just talked to Jake and said, hey, let's finish this thing. Let's do a 10-song album and see what happens. So off and on over a couple of years, we just kept at it. I had a huge backlog of songs that I'd written over
Steve
the years.
Steve has more material than anybody, that I've ever met. He acts like he doesn't have that much. He's so, he's reserved about it. But we'll be, playing a gig. We have, a two-hour block somewhere. Bluegrass Kitchen was a good example. If you were there, anybody was there. We got through, the album, and then, we played, 25 songs I've never heard in my life. He's just, he's got a lot of stuff. It's all good stuff, too.
It just came together really quickly. I mean, it was
so organic.
Yeah, it really was. It's basically string band music. That's a little more contemporary, mm-hmm. I guess. There's some elements of traditional folk. There's elements of bluegrass. There's elements of even some rock.
A little pop
in there, too. Mm-hmm. Personally, I feel it's my best work.
I feel the same way. And if, I think there's more to come, I don't want to, say too much, but I feel like it's probably my best work so far, as far as recorded stuff goes, because it became, something that was just another gig, a side gig, whatever, to being the thing that's most important to me now, that I put the most energy into, because, I don't know, just because of, in the beginning, it was just kind of like a session, I didn't know you that well, but, me and Steve became really good friends throughout this, and not just, mm-hmm. like, a business thing, it's I don't know, so it's just really organic, and I really enjoy the music that we make, and, I don't know, it's a good vibe.
Yeah, and Jake really was the missing piece of the puzzle.
Since The Miller Girl, I feel like I've made better music in all areas, just from, I don't know, it was beneficial to my creativity in a number of ways.
Well, we arranged the songs together. I mean, I produced it with my friend Cameron out of Nashville because he handled some of the drums and some of the percussion and fiddle. But the way the songs are structured were very much a collaboration between me and Jake. So we did the arrangements together. So all of the really cool call and answer things and just the little stuff here and there that I think mixes it up and makes it interesting. I couldn't have done it without him. So just really, really cool project. There will be more to come. We're going to do another one.
At least one.
Very soon. Probably two or more. I don't know.
It depends. Buy the album, and you can keep having them as long as you want.
Steve Hussey and Jake Eddy's newest release is The Miller Girl, out now on Murph Records.
30 Days of West Virginia Music is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting and A Change of Tune. This episode was written, edited, and produced by me, Joni Deutsch. Our associate producer is Nathan Thomas. Our digital promotions come from Josh Saul. Our theme was composed by Matt Jackford and performed by Montana Skies and John Query. You can hear more West Virginia music on A Change of Tune, airing Saturday nights at 10 on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Follow us on social media. We're at A Change of Tune on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And for more West Virginia music chats, make sure to go to wvpublic.org/wvmusic and subscribe to our podcast feed. I'm Joni Deutsch. Thanks for listening.